Listen. Why should you listen? You won't learn unless you do listen. Sometimes Judy comes back from the Priory and she says she has been practicing her listening skills. Now this can be taken all kinds of ways. Has someone had a very difficult time and needed to unburden themselves? Or could it mean that Judy couldn't get a word in edgeways? But to listen is good. In the Old Testament, there was a king called Saul, and he is commanded by God to annihilate the Amalekites, but he spares their king and some of the livestock. Samuel confronts Saul and denounces his rebellion, and God removes him from the throne of Israel. This is what Samuel had to say in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or listen is better than the fat of rams. Saul thought by using the best of the enemy's animals for sacrifice, he would please God. He doesn't please God because he went against God's commands. Saul didn't listen. He thought he knew better. Listening is so important, but this morning I don't want you to listen to me so much. Rather, I want you to listen to what God is saying to you through his word. What is your relationship with God? Are you a Christian or a follower of the way? Or a disciple of God? Now, I've actually been a bit deceitful here, as these things are really the same. Early Christians were called followers of the way. Perhaps you are a friend of Jesus, a friend of God. Does that sound too familiar, perhaps? Well, Abraham was called a friend of God. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, God says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend." Literally, Isaiah 41 verse 8 could be translated as "Abraham who loved me." Abraham showed his love for God through his faith accompanied by obedience. He was more than an acquaintance of God and more than a companion. He was a friend of God. Jesus said to his disciples that they were his friends. In John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, says this, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Jesus' disciples listened to him. They were his friends. What is your relationship with God? Is it as a servant of God, a disciple, or a friend? And these relationships aren't something that you're born into. They are made. We're going to have our reading now from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and Julie's going to come out and read to us. Thank you.
Okay, so Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has let me do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thank you. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, where is Bethany? Well, I thought it was fairly obvious. We're here, aren't we? This is Bethany, isn't it? That's located on the map there. We're in Union Street, Newport, Isle of Wight, PO301QB. I'm not talking about this Bethany. I'm talking about another Bethany. And there we go. Bethany near Jerusalem. Bethany in the Bible. Bethany was a village in Judea about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, a distance considered a Sabbath day's journey. We can read that Jesus liked to stop off at Bethany as he had friends there. Are we friends of God? Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. Now, hospitality was a very important thing in the Middle East, as there were no hotels, and as a matter of survival, it was essential to look after visitors. Martha must have heard about Jesus, and who hadn't heard about the miracle worker and the things he said? And so she welcomed Jesus and his disciples into her home. And Martha is eager to ensure that their guests are well taken care of. She immediately sets to work, going about preparing a meal and attending to the needs of her guests. Now, Jesus uses every opportunity he can to teach his disciples. And while the food is being prepared, he speaks to them. Now, Mary, the sister of Martha, chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his teaching. In doing so, she adopts the position of a disciple, eager to learn and grow in her understanding of the teaching of Jesus. This decision, however, causes tension and frustration for Martha, who becomes overwhelmed with the tasks of hospitality and feels abandoned by her sister. Perhaps Martha was preparing an over-elaborate meal when a simple one would have been sufficient. Also, it wasn't just the preparation of the meal that was the problem. She was distracted by many things, and that worried her and upset her. But we aren't told what they were. Why didn't Jesus wait until later so that both Mary and Martha could listen? Can we really say to Jesus, look, can you wait a bit when he has something important to say? I don't think so. What Jesus was saying to the disciples is not recorded, but his response to Martha is, so there is something here to learn. Now, people normally sat on chairs or at banquets reclined on couches, but disciples sat at the feet of their teachers. Serious disciples were preparing to be teachers themselves. Note that Mary has adopted the position of a disciple as the other disciples. But a learned rabbi or teacher would only choose men to be his disciples, and only ones he thought suitable. But Mary is accepted as a disciple of Jesus. I think Martha would also sit at the feet of Jesus. But this time she became distracted. Many things were worrying her. So Martha complains to Jesus about her lazy sister. I'm sure she wasn't. But Martha felt it was wrong that Mary wasn't helping her, and perhaps getting a rebuke from Jesus would carry more weight. Jesus very gently tells Martha that what Mary has chosen to do was right. It hadn't gone unnoticed with Jesus that Mary behaved as the other disciples did, in that she sat at the feet of Jesus listening to him. Interestingly, we're not told what happened next. Did Martha go back to doing the preparations, or did she sit down with her sister to listen to what Jesus had to say? Martha was faced with a choice, but we don't know what happened next. So what do we learn? We can say that Martha represents the busy, active life of service, which is good, while Mary can represent the receptive life of listening and learning. That's also good. The contrast between the two sisters can be a lesson on the priorities of discipleship and the importance of finding balance in our spiritual lives. This is not meant to teach the value of a listening and learning life compared with a life of action, but to show that service to Jesus must not fill our lives to such an extent that you have no time to learn from him. You can honour Jesus more by listening to him than by being busy in the things for God. We just shouldn't become lazy. Jesus did say to the disciples before he left that they were to go into all the world and teach all nations. This was work. This was service for the Lord. But also, we should be listening to Jesus. Both Mary and Martha served, but Mary understood the priority and necessity of choosing to be with and to listen to Jesus. If you want to become a Christian, a follower, a disciple of Jesus, you have to listen. If you want to continue as a Christian, as a follower, as a disciple of God, you have to listen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You have to listen to the message about Jesus. And what is the message? Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24 says this: righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This means that we can be made right with God, with Jesus, by trusting in him for salvation. We need this salvation because we have all sinned and do not come up to God's standards. Yet God is prepared to make us right in his sight. God did this by sending Jesus to free us from the penalty for our sins. But God gives us a choice: to listen to and to follow Jesus so that we can be saved from the consequences of our sins, or reject him and to suffer punishment. There are many things to be afraid of or fear today, but God says that we should fear him. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says this: do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The soul is the part that goes on after death, and the question is, where does it go? If you belong to Jesus and trust in him, then you are safe, saved from sin and hell, and to be with Jesus. Why not choose Jesus? He can be your saviour. Will it happen today? Listen. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And the final question is, what will you do?